Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is going on, Thunder fans? It is that time of year again. For the first time in almost 5 years, the Thunder are back in the playoffs. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB golf, the MLB and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
What's going on, Thunder fans? I'm not your host, Dylan Hunsinger. I'm Stephen Dolan, and I'm doing my best, okay? I'm joined tonight by two lovely gentlemen from across the globe. First up, from a chair in Oklahoma, Champagne Jerry.
Come on, Clippers. Come on, Clippers. That's all I got to say. We're still in the middle of the game, but come on, Clippers.
And Maddie Moles from 3 hours in the past, making me feel like I'm up late. How you doing, Maddie?
Hey, aloha, everyone. Hanging out in the Pacific. Still waiting on a Thunder game, so it doesn't matter what time zone you're in.
Maddie, we just started. Why are you saying goodbye already?
No matter what time zone you're in, this wait has been killer. We still don't know officially who we're going to play, but I think we know because the Los Angeles Slippers struck again.
The Blippers. Yeah, as we speak, the Los Angeles Clippers are currently trailing the Dallas Mavericks in an elimination game by a score of 96-76 with 9 minutes left. Ugh. And they came back and tied it at halftime and got my hopes up a little bit. But it was just like so clear from tip who the better team was. I mean, it just takes like a outrageous game from Harden and or PG. And I think they used their outrageous game up already in this series. So, yeah, it looks like on Tuesday night, the Thunder are going to be taking on the Dallas Mavericks, barring a crazy miracle in the fourth quarter of that game. We were all hoping for a game seven because that would have meant the Mavs had to fly or the Mavs or the Clippers had to fly from LA to Oklahoma City on 1 day rest to start that series. Instead, it looks like the Mavs are going to get 3 days off and, you know, a nice little half hour flight for their travel. So rest advantage mitigated
a little bit.
People who think like that, you know, rust versus rest. I don't know. I'll take the rest, but there are probably people who are going to say Dallas actually has a better situation as far as rust going into this series. I'm not one of them, but there will be people. So let's see. I kind of planned this outline around we're not going to know the result of this game, so I was like postponing all the Clippers-Mavs stuff, but I mean, I guess that still makes the most sense. That's the heavy hitting segment. We want to leave it for last. That's what the people came for. We got to get them through the ads, right? So we'll just go to some Twitter questions first and foremost. Let's see. Good podcasting here.
We're live. It's okay.
Okay. Here's a question. I'm going to start again with things that are not just strictly related to the upcoming series, because we'll get to that. We'll probably do the back half of the podcast all exclusively on that. So first up, from Alex Bullerjack, if they re-up Wiggins and Joe, what numbers would you expect them to get, and how much salary does that leave them to play with? Ooh. What numbers would you guys be comfortable with? Let's go average yearly salary.
Yeah, I think Isaiah brings in about 10. And I think just because of usage and everything else so far, Wiggins brings in 8-ish a year on a 2-year deal for both of them.
I feel like you're living in 2015 with these numbers, man.
But I'm looking at it from a usage standpoint. You got to think, I kind of set the bar for the newer salaries as Lou, with $18 million a year and just an absolute monster on both ends of the floor lately. That's why I'm saying the let's just range it out. 8 to 12 million for both of them. Maybe 13 to 14. Maybe.
So we have team options for both next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're both at just under 2 million, I think, or around 2 million per for that option. I think it's around 1.8 for each.
Yeah,
give or take. So if we're re-upping, then we're eating some of that in the front end. And then the average on the back end will be, less, right? So maybe we're massaging that. Are you saying per year counting next year?
Or let's go average. I agree. I would like to do a bulk payment up front. But yeah, let's say average. Let's say average.
I mean, because
it's going to be what they think. It's against what they think they could get from another team. And, it's not hypothetical. They'll have talked to other teams about it. So, in total, we'll want to match. What do you think they would get on the open market?
Combined 3 years for 60 for both. So each signing a 3-year deal, averaging roughly $10 million a season, give or take.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that's optimistic, personally. I think we might get a little bit of a discount because, like you say, we have the leverage where if they're not willing to, take a little bit of a discount to stay with the team longer term, then we'll just say, okay, then we'll exercise this team option. We have you for next year and we'll talk about it in the next offseason. So maybe a little bit of a discount there, but I think somebody would pay Isaiah Joe in particular. And the numbers I had in my head was 20 for Joe in
a year.
12 to 15 for Wiggins. Yeah, I think he would get that on the open market. I mean, we just saw Grayson Allen, and he's, statistically was a better shooter this year, but this year was by far the best of his career, and he's not the defender Isaiah Joe is, who can stay on the court no matter what. Nobody's ever going to pick on Isaiah Joe. So, yeah, I think that's what we would be looking at.
I think it's fair. I think that's fair. But I think that Sam's really going to come in hard and bargain hard to try to keep this team together as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, really, we have a 2-year window before
matters.
So,
yeah.
That's why I hope that I think with Joe, they can actually do the Nick Collison deal where they give him a huge bonus with cap space in the first year and then do the next years with at whatever. it's purely a cap space bonus, so it can like drop off a cliff. Wiggins, his contract as a second round draft pick wasn't as long, so we couldn't do it quite that crazy. I talked to John Hamm about this a few months ago. So with Wiggins, we would be able to give him a front loaded contract, but it would be limited to 8% decreases, so it couldn't be quite as front loaded as we could do for Joe. I hope we give Joe like 25 million this year and then drop it to 10, you know, for the next
year.
Like, that would be great. Anyway, off-season talk. Alex Bowlerjack, who picked this Twitter question? Okay. So, we should mention, so Hayden Wheatley asks, is Shay Zeus? That question, of course, in case anybody is getting their news from us, Shay Gilgeous-Alexander and his wife Haley recently welcomed their first child. I believe we all agree it's a son. There was a little bit of discussion in the group chat. His name is Aries. It's never explicitly stated that it's a boy. People are doing funky things with names nowadays, but we believe it's a son. Aries, of course, the god of war from Greek mythology. Son of Zeus, the god of thunder. So is that Shay declaring that he is the god of thunder? I mean, that's better than a contract, right?
That's my thought with it, because he's very like subliminal with a lot of his like captions and whatnot that he puts out there. Like it's a play on words. It's a play on something. So I definitely think that that was definitely a play on like, yeah, I'm here and I'm the guy in Oklahoma City and I play for the Thunder and I'm going to name my kid Aries, which is just pretty freaking badass if you think about it. Like, that is such a cool play on words. And he's just the type of guy that I think that would do that. He's done a bunch of cool stuff like that with his captions. So why wouldn't he do it with this kid? I mean, my daughter's name's Nina. I mean, let's be real right now. For you plebeians out there, that's Russell's wife's name. So, yeah, he definitely did that on purpose. Definitely did that on purpose because he is a thunder god.
And he just signed that extension with Converse. It wouldn't shock me if, I guess pun intended, with the thunder thing, it wouldn't shock me if that was like the name of his first shoe also.
Ooh.
So, ooh. That could be fire. Is in a thunder colorway.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I can't wait to get my first pair of Converse.
Yeah, I've been rocking All Stars lately. Been enjoying that. So I do think, I don't think it means he's staying forever, but much like a previous quote from a few weeks ago that he made where, I forget who asked the question in the scrum, but he was asked about basically being too young. Like, have you heard the chatter that this team's too young? And he was like, oh yeah, we're too young. Well, I guess we have to get used to it. Like we're going to be young for the next 4 or 5 years, you know, and laughed about it. And similar to that, similar to naming himself the God of Thunder, while I don't necessarily think it means like he's going to stay around forever, I do think it does reveal a little bit of mindset that you can at least know that he's not actively thinking like foot out the door. And I mean, of course he's not. Like, it would be crazy to at this point, the number one seed in the playoffs. He's got 3 years after this left on his contract, but it's not like on his mind at all that he might be, you know, a short timer in Oklahoma City. Like, he is he's thinking of himself 5 years from now as we with the Thunder. He's naming his child jokes to do with the Thunder. Like, it's a long-term outlook, and that makes me feel a little bit good.
Yeah, it makes my pants happy.
Your pants, specifically.
Yeah, my pants are happy.
Happy trousers over here.
Yep.
Okay, wait. I was going to do another Twitter question, but segue. So, how about these other series, right? Did you guys watch the Knickerbockers game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Knickerbockers.
That was a pretty happy pants, too, huh?
Well, I mean, that's who I wanted to win. So, yeah, I'm down with that all the way.
That's who you wanted to win.
Why is that? Oh, just pure hate out of the Sixers. After that guy flipped off Russ and got kicked out of the game like 8 years ago, it's been like just piss on the Sixers since then. Everything about him.
That guy influenced your life?
Yeah, absolutely I am.
I think he won.
Yeah, people don't forget. No, people don't forget. That's just what it is. No, but we've always had like some like weird like rivalry against them for a while. Really since Embiid got drafted, I feel like. And yeah, piss on the Sixers. I'm happy for the Knicks though. You know, for them to make it this far so far, make it this far. And they look good without one of their best players. Like they look so good still. And granted, like the Sixers were definitely beat up, but I'm all for New York, like getting to like the Eastern Conference Finals right now. I'm all about it. I just want to see Bing Bongs and F. Trey Youngs, the rest of the playoffs here, you know, the playoffs that we have this year. That's all I want to see.
I don't think Trae Young will be involved.
Well, but that's the thing, though, is they started it, so they're still going with it. There's been video of them, even in Phoenix, or in Philadelphia, still screaming that outside the arena. So I'm cool with it.
Okay, that's funny. So Dr. Clam Medicine Mollusk asked, how many franchises would change place with the Suns' current situation? And somehow I feel like Matt Ishbia's math is off. here, Matt Ishbia said that, I think he said, if you ask the other 29 teams, 26 of them would change places with us, which is ludicrous. I think we all know that's ludicrous. I thought I would turn it on its head a little bit and say, so we're going to talk about, as kind of a way into all the other series, of the teams who lost in the first round. So I'll have to strike the Magic off this list as they just took their game to 7. I'll have to add the Clippers to this list. So there are 7 teams who have already lost their first round matchup. The Heat, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Pels, the Lakers, the Suns, and the Clippers. Of these 7 teams, who would you least like to switch places with?
I think it's easily the Suns. They have no cap. They have no assets. They have maybe the worst contract in basketball in Bradley Beal.
It's not good.
Anchoring them. It's like $60 million a year for him.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Durant is 1 foot out the door. So maybe like that changes things a little bit. Booker's not going to want to stay around long term. He's eventually going to want to compete.
I don't know about that.
I don't think Booker – I think Booker got a taste of a little bit of playoff success, and he sees – the writing on the wall for what the Western Conference is. There's not a way out for them to get better as constructed. They're going to have to tear it down, but they can't rebuild around him because they traded everything for those two guys in Durant and Beal, and they don't have anything left. All the guys that they could have built around him with, the Cam Johnsons, the Mikal Bridges, all that, like all their draft capital, it's gone. And so like, some of those other teams, you could talk yourself into their future or their location to be able to reallocate stars or re-get stars. Like the Suns aren't it. People aren't lining out the door to go to play in Phoenix prior to these last couple of years where they made their finals run. Like people aren't going to be going there willingly now.
I mean, it's definitely the Suns. I mean, I think that's the easy answer in this whole situation.
Okay, so we all agree there are at least 6 teams who would not trade with the Suns. Yeah.
Okay, I can't think of one now.
Because I really think a lot of these teams are in like really rough spots. Like people talk about the Suns a lot. Like the Heat, the Bucks, I mean they have Giannis, the Clippers, like these are teams in rough spots. The Clippers, like Paul George might walk this offseason. They're not going to have cap space to replace him. They're going to have to re-sign James Harden because if they don't sign him, they're still not going to have cap space. They have to sign James Harden. If Paul George walks, then they have like one draft pick they can trade in 2031. Like, it is, it's a tough situation. Like, I don't even know what they would do. Kawhi Leonard is under contract with his injury history, just like holding them hostage, not even able to play. They're, if Paul George doesn't walk, they're going to get hit by all the second apron rules where they're not able to aggregate salary. Their picks are going to start getting frozen. Like, it is bleak. And, you know, this isn't just me saying that as a Thunder fan, because we control their draft through 2027, although that is also true.
Now, the Clippers definitely are up there, but I feel like, at least with the Clippers, they have the LA with them. And I think Paul George, I don't think he's a smart man at all. I think he's kind of dumb. And I think that he would take a huge discount just to stay in LA. Especially considering, like,
you think he's taking a discount. I think if he stays in LA, he's getting every penny.
I don't think that he's going to be able to ask for it. And I think if Steve Ballmer came to him and rubbed his leg really furiously and said, "Hey buddy, I need you to take a little bit off of this," I think Paul George does it just to stay in LA.
Well, it doesn't give them anything except Ballmer more money.
Well, but no,
like, he needs,
and
it doesn't
that.
Give them any flexibility. It doesn't give them an extra.
Well, but they're going to be able to get, it's LA
minimums. If Paul George stays, they have the minimum contract to offer.
And there's players out there that'll go do it. You know what I mean? There is.
Dwight Howard would.
Yeah, there's players out there that would do it. Not, I'm not saying that it's like a huge list of players that would, but there's players out there that would literally go there for peanuts, just so they could say
the peanut shells are all they're going to have left up in the bleachers somewhere.
Well, but if you look at that starting five, if they're all humming and playing well, that's a damn good team. You know what I mean?
Like, call them the Los Angeles if healthies. Like, yeah.
Well, Sure. That's the catch. You know, there's a lot of ifs beyond that. But, like, I think the Suns are worse off because Ballmer's at least probably going to be like be able to talk himself down and be like, "Oh shit, you know, this isn't good." Versus Ishiba is talking about, "Oh yeah, there's so many other teams that would love to be in our position." I just think that the Suns are a little bit worse off because you do have KD. I mean, they literally have, arguably, with KD, what would you say? Like, I wouldn't say right now, but in his prime, in today's, like, era, top three player.
Yeah, but that's the thing. At least, and the Suns aren't going to do it. Ishby has been very stubbornly clear about it. But at least they have that out. They could trade KD and or Booker, and, like, they don't have their own picks, so, like, a tank wouldn't do them any good. But, like, they could do a restart with those assets. They could flip KD into other stuff. Like, what can the Clippers do?
Well, I think
Paul George is a free agent. Kawhi Leonard has no trade value. James Harden has no trade value. Like, are they going to flip Norm Powell for somebody else? Like, he's their fourth best player. Like, I just don't know what their options are. Like,
well, the Suns, the more you say that, I think that they're so much, I mean, you're splitting hairs between those two organizations right now.
No, I'm not, I don't agree to compromise with you. I don't.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
I disagree to disagree.
No, because I get what you're saying, but I also think that if you look at Bradley Beal, he's in the same boat. If you look at Devin Booker and his inconsistencies, if you look at KD, it's very similar to me. It's not, I'm not saying it's like just perfect fit for both of those, but I think it's pretty close. I think it's really close. You don't have anything on the Suns. Like, your fourth best player is Grayson Allen on that team. Mm-hmm. And Grayson Allen's ass. I mean, granted, yeah, he shot well this year, right? Best 3-point shooter in the league. I'm not going to sit there and say he is ass. He's a mental head case. He can't play defense consistently. He's always getting himself in trouble one way or another as far as on the court.
Usually, like, there's usually just the one way.
Well, but that's your fourth best player, you know. And Norm Powell, yes, I totally agree. He's, if I had to put a gun to my head right now and say which one's more ass, I'm picking Norm Powell, you know. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's, it's so weird to think about that, because I think both of those teams, if we go look back at our preseason like takes, I had the Clippers, if healthy, going to the Western Conference Finals.
I thought the Suns were going to be good.
Yeah, no, and I thought the Suns were going to be great. You know, I thought they were going to be able to figure it out, and those three would average, you know, 20 a game at least, and like every single night, and be able to put together W's. But they have Frank Vogel as their head coach, who's a numbnuts, and the Clippers have Ty Lue, who's even more of a numbnuts and got stepped over by Allen Iverson. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm happy. Like, I want both of them to suck, really, because.
Can we take a moment to address, just to acknowledge how kind of screwed the Heat are? Like, low-key screwed?
Yeah, they are.
Bam Adebayo is great. Tyler Hero has not turned into what they hoped he would. Jimmy Butler is getting very old, and he gets hurt all the time, and he has Tibbs miles on him. Like, that's going to go bad fast.
Yep.
They need a Hail Mary. They need like Donovan Mitchell to come save them, or else like they're just gonna. By the way, another Thunder pick news: the Thunder have their lottery protected pick next year. If it gets protected, meaning if they miss the playoffs, then the Thunder get an unprotected pick the next year, because Sam Presti renegotiated those protections in the Myers-Leonard trade.
Yeah,
I think so. I think
that sounds right.
Yeah, that might not be right. We did a few trades with them. It was one of the little minor deals we did with them. But anyway, so like, yeah, they need a Hail Mary like right now, or else they're going to get into the territory of like being bad. So,
but it, I mean, they always seem to find a way to
about the Heat missing out the playoffs. And that sounds kind of outlandish, but they've been one game away from missing the playoffs 2 years in a row now.
Yeah. I mean, but they've also – the injuries have definitely stacked up against them. Like the Tyler Hero, especially this year, injuries, you know. Like he just could never stay in the flow of the game. He could never just stay going. But they obviously paid him way too quickly and way too much. Way too much money. Bam, I think if I'm the Heat, I'm going to trade Bam, because that's the one good valuable asset that I have. Because I don't think a lot of teams are going to want a Jimmy Butler. There's only a couple organizations that he would fit in with. And I just don't see – I think that list is very, very, very small right now. Maybe Hawks. Maybe something weird, like with some stupid – you know, budding team like the Pistons or the Hornets. But yeah, no, the Heat are in a terrible spot. I mean, long or short of it, they're in a terrible spot right now. It's not looking good. Not looking good, Miami, at all.
But it's Miami.
And that's the other case that you got to look at too.
It's Miami. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing that I think we need to touch on at least a little bit, it's kind of in the water right now. Matty Mulls actually asked us a Twitter question about it, I think. Also, Ricardo Calhoun asked, do you think we should go get KD? Jerry, you want to take this first?
Fuck no. Fuck no.
Okay,
Matt. He stifles the offense. He would kill what we have going on right now. Absolutely destroy it. He has a crybaby mentality still to this day. Fuck. Cool. You did a commercial with Chet. Who gives a shit? Like, honestly, who gives a shit? It was. No, it was a cool commercial. I'm not going to deny that. But who gives a shit? Like, great job. You just try to sell yourself more shoes. And you probably weren't selling them yourself. So you have to go get a young rising star to help you sell your own shoes, which he's worn forever, too. But, man, fuck KD. He can go fuck himself. Fuck his mother. Fuck his stupid brother. Fuck them all. I don't want him in my city.
I don't. This podcast does not endorse the motherfucking.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm just. I had like four seltzers tonight. I'm feeling a little spicy. But no, absolutely not. And it's not even about like the emotional part of it. How I still like just hate him for what he did. But Sam is.
It's definitely Sam not is, about the emotional part.
No, no, but
it's,
even
it's not about that at all. With
no,
all
but to even think not, for a second that Sam would take a second chance on him is asinine. Absolutely silly. Sam would not take another chance on that guy. Why would you? He burned you once. Why would you allow him the chance to eat up your cap space and then burn you again as a 35-year-old who's yet to be just even an inkling of himself the last 3 or 4 years of his career? He hasn't been great since the Warriors, if we're just being completely blunt about it. Like he's not the same player. You can sit there and rub your hands all day. I'll still tell you, I don't give a shit. He's a fucking bum. He's not that good. He does not fit in with our offense, right? And I'm speaking from a purely basketball standpoint. Does not fit in with our offense. Go tell me, yeah, we could just go sit him in a corner, you know? Who would you rather have, KD or Lou over there? Well, that's an easy fucking answer, right? When you're just looking at it from like a legacy standpoint, and you're looking at it from like extrapolating a guy's career and trying to like break it down. But from a fan standpoint, absolutely not. Like, keep him out of here. I've heard the Paul George crap too. Keep that bum out of here. We got a really good thing working for us right now. Why would you try to bring somebody in that is an ego and has proven over and over and over that his ego is more important to him than playing winning basketball and being a team player? Because I'm sorry, KD is not a team player. Tell me the last time he was a team player.
This year.
Absolutely not. Fuck out of here. He was crybaby and moping around half the season this year because he wasn't getting the touches that he thought he should be getting. And doesn't even earn them on the defensive end, mind you. He just kind of stands around and does nothing. Like, no, keep KD away from this squad. Like, there are so many better free agents that are going to be coming up or, like, trade targets that we could go get other than Paul George and Kevin Durant. Like, and argue a wall about that. Like, I honestly don't care.
No, do not argue Maddie about it. Maddie,
no, I'm not going to argue about it because I'm going to take off my headphones with this point because I really don't even want to hear it because I think it's fucking stupid. Like, and I'm not talking about like the person saying it's stupid. I'm just talking about I think that that opinion and how many people like truly think that that's a good idea. It is just, it's crazy to me to think that, oh my God, you know, he could be that missing. No, he's not the missing piece. He's not. You know what we need? A true big man to sit behind Chet. That's what we need. We have so much cap space and we want to eat it up with one player that's really not going to move our needle one way or another. He's not. We have the scorers on this team. Give me J-Dub, today's J-Dub versus today's KD all day right now. All day. I'll take it 10 out of 10 times. Give me today's Chet versus today's KD. Probably like 8 out of 10 times, just because Chet's not big enough yet, hasn't built into his frame. But no, absolutely not. Don't hit me with any stats because his stats don't matter. They don't matter. He doesn't play defense.
He's trying to 8 mile you. He's trying to 8 mile you right now.
That's totally fine, you know?
Okay. Can I go?
No, because I'm going to take off my headphones, so go ahead.
All right. It's going to be probably second team all NBA. He was an all-star, right? And I know that
because of his name. Everything. Just because of Hold his on. Name. Because of his name.
Can I go?
Yes, you can.
Now. All right. So he is performing at a high level, highly efficient still. 50, 40, 80s-ish, I think, this year on his splits. So we have an MVP caliber player in Shea. Kevin Durant swallowed some of his pride and went to Phoenix, understanding that that was going to be Booker's team. And he did that because, like, he had an affinity for Book. He wanted to play with Book. Like, he wanted us to get Book, and we were really close when he was drafted, and it just didn't come to fruition. Okay, so there's that. The situation in Phoenix is not great. I think Kevin Durant sees that. There has been a little bit of a softening in the media, and one thing that was said was that there were potentially feelers put out by his people that he would be amenable to a comeback scenario. So that him being willing to come back is the first step. Secondly, he has a long-standing relationship with Chet Holmgren. He actually worked with Chet in the offseason. Obviously, Chet wears his shoes and really models a lot of his game after him. Who better for Chet, and you can take your emotion out of this if you're looking at it logically, who better for Chet to learn from than a guy who has a similar build and a similar game to what Chet wants to do offensively?
They don't have the same game, though, in my opinion.
I don't think they do exactly either. They're different. They're going to bring different things to the table. But you see with some of the ways that Chet pulls up a trailing, or some of the moves Chet does off of his pivot and things like that, you can see a lot of Kevin Durant in some of that. And you could see the influence that Kevin had on Chet in being able to practice those things and bring them to the table. The KD would encourage Chet to leave. Chet wanted to come here. That's not a secret. Chet wanted to come here because of the organization. Chet's built relationships with these guys. And I think that a lot of people are looking at the first Oklahoma City team as like, man, maybe we took them for granted. I think Kevin Durant realizes a little bit of that. He's reflecting now. I think that he would look at things differently. So that's all on the personal side, right? That's the personal relationships. Let's get into basketball. You said that Kevin Durant wasn't engaged on the defensive end. Who on the Suns was? Everything looks worse.
So when you wait a second. I know, but let me stop you there on that piece, right? Let me stop you there, right? Defense is a team sport, and it takes somebody to be that leader. And if you're this and as highly as he thinks of himself as a basketball player, right? You lead that charge, right? You lead that charge as a perennial all-star, as an MVP, as a finals MVP, right? Like, you lead that. It's funny because you're like, oh, well, he can influence Chet and all this other. He can't even influence his own teammates that he's sitting with right now.
Well, because how many of those guys are old heads and been around forever? Like, how many young guys are on that team that are hungry, that are getting after it, and they're playing a good team?
Why would that matter?
It matters because you put him in. No, you're telling me Kevin Durant would be worse on defense than Josh Giddey?
Absolutely not. But like, you're right there. That's like a grasping at straws moment comparing it to Josh.
The guy you just spent forever talking about the fourth best player on the Clippers versus the fourth best player elsewhere, like on the Suns even. Well, guess what? Kevin Durant gets to be Grayson Allen for a large portion of the game. And he gets to pick and choose times where he wants to step up and exert that energy. But if he's playing a team game on the defensive end, he doesn't have to step up and be that guy, because we got dogs everywhere else. And Kevin Durant is going to just fit in. Like, I'm sorry, but like, to say that he's going to be a sieve defensively, he's going to be better than what Giddey brings to the table. And this isn't a slander Giddey moment. No, this is a recognize that we have a 7-footer who can play his role alongside Chet Holmgren and cause havoc. We would have three perimeter stalwarts in Shea, Dort, and Dub, able to do cause a lot of havoc on the perimeter and swing around. And then we would have length along the baseline to be able to slide in as we need with 2 7-footers. I don't see the issue here defensively. And then offensively, yes, he does get to stand in the corner. He does get to have spot up threes with all the gravity everywhere else, because we drive and kick. Kevin Durant's going to be sitting out there like, oh my gosh, this is the easiest 7 threes a game I'm going to get to shoot ever. And then he gets to still get to the line and do other things. Like, man,
I just
that's a good-ass problem to have for a guy that we're not going to have to gut the team or kill all of our capital to go get.
Well, one, we would have to gut a little bit of the team. We would, right? Because it's under the premise that Josh is actually going to get that much money, right? Where you're going to have to sign and trade a few other ones. I do not see the value in that trade. If, like, I would 100% agree with you, right? 100% agree with you. If we had like a 1 year window that we're truly dealing with right now, but we have like a 6 or 7 year window that we can really fuck around with right now. Like we really do. Like if you really just look at how many picks we can flip for later on down the road, or what we're able to do like long-term with the assets that we have, we got a pretty large window. Like if you're saying like, all right, yeah, we got one more year to go do this. I 110% agree with you on this. 110%. I just don't think that Sam, as a GM, right, you get burned by a person, right, the way that he burned us, there's no way in hell he's going to go take another chance on it, because you can't trust that person again. Him, Kleiman, everybody else on the boardroom, you cannot trust those dudes as far as you can throw them. And I'm the basketball piece, right? I don't want it to get misconstrued that I think that he's a terrible player, right? He's not. He's a great player, NBA legend, right? When it's all said and done, right?
And still very good.
Yeah, no,
not just his name, but like he's still a very good player today.
But this team, you do not shake it for one guy's ego, because that's what I think that this boils down to, really and truly, is his ego and his conscience to quote unquote want to make it all right again. Right? Bump that, dude. Like, you laid in your bed, go sit on your shitty team. Okay. Go have your crappy ownership. Go have Frank Vogel keep coaching you and move along. Because at the end of the day, we have a way bigger window that we can play with. Way bigger window. And in my opinion, if we take him on, we shut that window by like 2 years.
I disagree. I don't think
long
term. I think you have a top three player in the NBA right now.
He's not top three. Well, no, you're talking about Shea. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
So you have that guy. The window's open now. So you do what you can do within reason to go and give yourself the best chance to win a championship. Yeah, we have a rising Dub. We have a rising Chet. You have all these picks and you're talking about like, I don't want to cash them in. But the thing is, what's that Family Guy thing? It's like, yeah, I traded a boat for this box, but this box could be anything. It could even be a boat. Like at some point we're going to have to cash in, right? We have the guy who's the guy now.
But that's the thing, though, the new CBA doesn't allow us to cash in the way that we want to. Like if Sam was looking at this long term, which I think that he is.
Well, we have the 2 year window. Like I don't think there's a salary issue. Can I break the tie?
Yeah, break the tie. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Moles. I'm just I love you, Jerry. I love you too. I just hate that guy so much. God, if he was on fire, I wouldn't piss on him.
So honestly, I think like until very recently, I was very much in agreement with Matty. You just imagine how KD would slot into the team in the ideal role that you picture for him, right? And if he comes in and he's willing to play off the ball, on the ball some, of course, but off the ball a large percentage, you know, spot up threes. Yeah, hit threes in the corner. He'd be amazing at that. He'd probably shoot 55% from three. Play help side defense. You know, be role player KD. I think that would be perfect for this team. And when you picture him in that role, it would, you know, totally fulfill everything that this team is missing. It's a lot of the same things people imagine when they talk about bringing Lauri Markkanen in, right? Catch and shoot player, like decent usage, but he's not on the ball. Almost all his points are assisted. Like he's a play finisher, but
yeah,
no pun intended. If Kevin Durant would do that, that would be great. But he had a 29% usage this year, which is just on par with every season. He took 19 field goal attempts per game this year, which is the same or higher than, you know, that's just historical KD. And after the season, he came out saying he didn't feel like he was used properly. I don't think he's ready to fade into that role. I think he wants to take 19 shots. I think he might, you know, see himself as secondary to Shea. That's possible. But I think he's taking those 19 shots away from Chet and from Dub. And I think he would squander their growth a little bit. And then we reach 2 years from now, KD's old, or he leaves, and Shea and Dub are lesser than they would be otherwise. So I think there has to be some balance between, you know, pushing all in and squandering the growth of the young guys. And then I'll tell you what, like, and this is anecdotal. This seems like a myopic thing to put a lot of weight into, but man, that clip of him ducking Anthony Edwards on that dunk attempt, they were down two with 2 minutes left in an elimination game. And he made a business decision and jumped all the way out of bounds to avoid getting dunked on by Anthony Edwards. Like, Sam Presti has talked a big game about, you know, the type of people they draft. They want competitive players. They want dogs, right? Woof, woof. Well, is KD that? Like, does he fit on the team for that reason? Like, I said, Maddie, until very recently, I was like, yes, it just makes basketball sense. Like, put your feelings aside. But this isn't even my feelings, right? This is just like, I don't know if his mentality is built for this team.
That's my core point. That's like, through all my words and emotion, that's my core point. He does not fit this from a cultural standpoint.
Who on this team would have ducked that dunk attempt?
Josh Giddey.
You think? I think Giddey would
validate. I was just reaching low there, guys. I don't really mean that.
I think if Ant Edwards tries to dunk at that point in the game in an elimination game, he's getting fouled by anybody on this roster.
Yep.
Except who's blocking it clean.
Although,
amen. Amen to that.
I guess it's a little different when you're down 3-0.
But still, even at the end of the day, right? Like, I mean,
that's season over, man.
Kevin Durant knows
that
this,
dunk
right?
Essentially ended the series. Ended the season for Kevin Durant.
And he was up 3-1 one time.
He ducked out of bounds to let it happen.
He gave up three games in a row to allow the Warriors to win, and then went to him. So
Game six play had a little to do with it, but yeah.
No, man. I just can't trust the guy. You can't trust him. And it, like I said, he does not fit this culture. Not what we built for him.
Follow-up question.
Okay.
Should the unthinkable happen, and you both are wrong, and Presti does bring him in, are you welcoming him?
No.
He's officially of Thunder again. You're not welcoming him back.
Nope.
I trust Sam Presti.
Yeah. So as much as I love Sam, I would be very, very pissed off. And this is coming from somebody that spends lots of money to go watch these guys play every single year. Lots of money. I would be so pissed off about that move right there. I'd be so mad. It's not even funny. And I don't think he would do it. Like I said, I think Dolan probably said it best, because I'm pissed off anytime I hear his name. but he does not fit this team, man. He just doesn't. Like, it's cute to like think about it and everything, but he just does not fit it. Same thing with Paul George. Like, homeboy does not fit this squad. Sorry. He just doesn't. He's not the same Paul George that we had, you know, back in 2017. He's just not. It's just a matter of fact.
Okay. I am making an executive hosting decision, and we
please
are
do. My blood pressure needs to come down. Yeah. Blood pressure needs to come down.
Yeah, I think this is probably the last pod before I imagine we're probably going to do post game after the Tuesday game.
Yeah.
So we need to, you know, do some preview now that we know that it's the Clippers. I'm sorry.
The Mavericks.
Well, I wish it was Mavericks. The Clippers.
Yeah. Did that game go final? Yeah. Mavs by 13.
Yep.
Mavs will be coming to Oklahoma City with 3 days of rest, for Luka to heal his knee, although he's looked fine. The Thunder obviously should be fully healthy. Shea will have had a full week of baby duty to rest his lightly rolled ankle. Nobody else is even dinged up as far as we know. Although, you notice Chet's wearing that wrap on his calf. I wonder what that's about. Seems fine. Okay, so the schedule. Wanted to look at the...
Should be Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Saturday.
Yeah, it's every other day for the Tuesday, Thursday.
And then I think it's Sunday. And then
Saturday, Tuesday. A day game.
It is Saturday?
Yeah both Saturday games in Dallas are back-to-back. No, never mind.
And then Monday, Wednesday, and then if it goes to game six, after Wednesday, they actually get 2 days off before game six, and then Saturday, Monday. So, unfortunately, for those of you who are hoping to get to bed early, those first two games are going to be at 8:30 Central, as well as game four. Game three in Dallas is at 2:30 Central, so one of those early games, which I don't like personally, but I have been informed very aggressively that that's great for the European crowd, which is probably why they did it. So nobody say they don't like it or they will come for you.
Luca.
Yeah.
No. So we had a question. I thought this was a good way into talking about that series, from Dr. Clam. He asked, draft the top 10 players in the series. So I thought we could, let's go snake draft. Let's go Jerry first pick, Maddie third pick, and then we loop back around. We'll do the top 10 players in the series.
Okay. Shea.
Okay. Luca.
Kyrie.
I know, right?
Controversy.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be.
No. That's a solid pick. Dub.
Snake draft. Maddie goes back.
Oh, sorry, Maddie. Sorry.
In this series, so are we picking just best player or most impactful in this series?
Draft them.
Yeah. You're building a team, dude.
Draft them.
Dub.
You familiar with the draft as a Thunder fan?
I am, but like, it context matters, right? Like,
yeah, it's a draft. That's the context, Maddie.
Okay, so all of our teams are playing each other in a 3D checkers.
I didn't say that
type of way.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Maddie? Jeez,
get it together.
It's a snake draft.
Okay, all right, so Kyrie and Dub.
Luca, Kyrie, Dub, and then I'll go Chet.
And then
this is where it gets interesting because I think we all could have predicted off the top of our head that that would be the first five.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Oh man, I'm gonna go Lou, and then PJ Washington.
Okay. I don't know about his health. Tim Hardaway Jr. is sitting there, and I think he's a pretty good player. But he's a little dinged up, and I don't know how good he's going to be doing. You know what? I'm going to go with the eighth pick. I'm going to say Josh Giddey. I think he's going to be good. I think the Mavs have been very insistent on doing the center against Giddey thing. Like, I know the Rockets pioneered it and lots of teams have done it, but they've been very consistent with it. Mm-hmm. When we play the Mavs, it's like all they have done basically on defense. It's their go-to. And I think Giddey has kind of figured it out a little bit. And I guess maybe at this point, I kind of just believe in like big game Giddey. Like he's, you know, he'll have a stinker every once in a while, but he rises to the occasion more often than not. So yeah, I think I'll go Giddey eight. And then Maddie, you get the last two picks.
So I'll go with Cason Wallace. And I'll go with Aaron Wiggins.
No Daniel Gafford?
Not yet. I mean, because I've only got four players right now, right?
I'm only doing the top 10, so you're rounding it out.
Oh. Okay, well, I mean, yeah. I guess I'm playing without one and just, all right, man up, duh.
Okay. So you're doing it. You know, in our highly subjective draft, and Maddie had a lot to say about this, right? Because with the last two picks. So, but what we've done just now is we've said the Thunder have 7 of the top 10 players in the series.
Yep. Agreed.
Gafford could be impactful. Okay
about that?
Yeah. No, I think it's like a 6-4 split. I think Gafford is going to give us hell in this series. Absolute hell every single night. And Kleber, I think
he's going to figure out the Gafford-Lively combo halfway through game one, just like he did with Valanciunas.
Do we see Chet and Jay Will together in substantial minutes?
Do the Mavs play Lively and Gafford together?
They do. They play Lively and Kleber together.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different. That's a little bit different because Kleber can stretch the floor just a little bit.
We might see it some. We saw it a little bit in the regular season.
Yeah. Okay. Which,
you know, Mark likes to just sprinkle it in to see what it looks like. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to do it. Maybe he didn't like what it looked like.
Yeah.
But he has done it against them before.
Yeah.
I do have a quasi hot take about the series. I think Gordon Hayward's going to be very impactful.
Thank you, man. I haven't given up either. I think we're the only two. No, I think he's going to have a game where he makes 3 3-pointers, 4 3-pointers. And it's just like, where did that come from? And we win that game by 20. And it's like, I don't know why he stopped shooting, but I think it comes from a good place. You know, I think it comes from a place of trying to do the right things. It's better than the opposite problem, right? You'd rather not have any problems, but it's better than like, he won't stop gunning mid-range jumpers.
No, that's not wrong.
And it's like he hasn't heard anything yet. I heard Mikey Barra saying on Dream Team, like they're still guarding him like he's a shooter because he is. He's still moving the ball. He's still playing defense. His rebounding has been genuinely impactful. Like I still think until there's a reason why he becomes a liability, either in getting ignored on offense, making mistakes on offense, getting attacked on defense, until something like that happens, Mark isn't going to fully give up on him. And I just think he's too good of a shooter. Like at some point they're going to forget to guard him and he's going to get 2 corner threes in 2 possessions.
And he just hustles his ass off.
No, he does. He does. And what did he score? What's his high with us so far? Was it that 20-point game? Was it 20 or 18? I can't remember his high.
And he kind of runs like a T-Rex. You notice that? T-Rex.
But I feel like those games that he, you know, those mid-teen games are still in him. I mean, he showed us at the end of the season. And I think part of it in a weird way is a schematics thing. Like Mark's telling him, like, hey, chill out, bro. Like, you're going to be our X factor coming up in the playoffs. And we're going to use you when we need to use you. And we really did not need to use him against the Pels, like whatsoever. He just didn't even touch the floor during that series.
Yeah. I love how that Pelicans, sorry, Maddie, do you have something else on Hayward?
No, you can go and then I'll make a statement. Okay.
I just love how that Pelican series was like ankle weights for this team. You know, like it was, they weren't good enough to like be a threat in any legitimate way, but they have certain strengths that really messed with the Thunder. Like, having Herb Jones and a bunch of other switchable long defenders to throw at Shea.
Najee Marshall. Was
problematic for Shea. Najee Marshall.
Trey Murphy.
He's not going to have anybody who gives him that much trouble with the Mavericks.
PJ is only one.
Yeah, and then like you're talking about, you think Gafford is going to give us hell. Well, yeah, he's physical and he's very athletic. He's not as physical as Valanciunas. Like he's not.
I think his motor. I think what scares
me. He has a great motor. Yeah.
Yeah. His motor doesn't stop.
He's certainly not as skilled as Valanciunas offensively.
No.
No. I mean, it's just not going to be as physically taxing on Chet.
Probably not.
Like, it's not. And then, so like, here's how I think this series is going to go. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Oklahoma City. So I think it's either they outscore Oklahoma City or. That's all she wrote. So like, I just think it's going to take like a monster series from Luka. And I tell you how Dallas goes crazy when they go crazy is when teams do that double team Luka defense. And they're just like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to double team Luka and get the ball out of his hands. And that just turns into wide open threes.
Yep.
Like five possessions in a row. And sometimes they miss all five and then you look really smart. And sometimes they make all five and you get beat by 20 because that happens in five possessions.
Yep.
And the Thunder are not going to do that. Lu Dort is going to stay home on Luka unless he's in the post. Then we might throw a double, but we rotate really well behind our double teams. But we're not going to be doubling him out by half court.
No.
Because Lu Dort can take him one-on-one. And look, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if Lu Dort's on him one-on-one? Maybe he gets a three? Well,
I mean,
that's not any worse than giving up wide open threes because you tried to double team him. So like
the refs allowing defenses to be more physical is going to help Lou in his one-on-one against Luka. Yep. If they don't fall into that every single time that Luka doesn't make a shot, like, and we've seen that they're not appeasing him a lot so far in the playoffs. The thing that stands for me for Gordon Hayward. You talked about the ankle weights. Usman Jang didn't really play a role and he was available, right? Like he was available even though the Blue were kind of doing their thing. Like I was wondering if they were going to incorporate him more and that would have been a perfect opportunity to do so. And I didn't really see them do that in any important stretch of that. But Gordon Hayward still got, you know, what was he like one of the first ones off the bench in game one? Like, and people were like, what the hell are we doing? Like it matters, the trust that's there. I think that Gordon's going to get there, and be able to play in that. Secondly, like this is where, okay. So if they are putting that stress on Luka, like Kyrie is one of the best finishers in the NBA. He's still going to get his, but we close out so well on the back end, unless Kyrie's just going to hang out in the corner, which he doesn't do. The only way he's really going to kill us is driving closeouts, and then Chet's going to be able to affect things a little bit that way. So I think that some of their counter is mitigated a little bit by Chet. That's why I asked who's going to be impactful, who's the better maybe player overall. Like Dub and Chet are very, very close in like capacity in this series and importance in this series.
You agree.
Another minor thing, as I was watching the Clippers and Mavs, the Mavs set some sketchy screens. Like there were so many just as a Thunder fan attuned to watching Lu Dort and even Jalen go around screens. I was just like instinctively like, oh, fall right there. Like, and it's going to be a foul. And the Clippers weren't going down, you know, and that's fine. But I think the Thunder are going to draw a lot of moving screens in this series. Like, I don't think the Mavs have the screening discipline to. They're going to be moving, and Lu Dort's going to get them.
See, I think that as a team, like we just have to expect Kyrie and Luka to get 25 plus a game. Mm-hmm. It's what you do everywhere else.
Just make it 25 on 22 shots.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like don't let Gafford or Lively, you know, go shoot 90% because we're all dunks. You know, and score, you know, 35 between them both. I think that's going to be the game plan coming into this is, all right, look, like we know that these are two prolific scorers, two prolific ball handlers, finishers, all that stuff. Just play solid defense and we'll live with the results as long as we can shut down everybody else. Because I think that, you know, we're focusing so much on the starters. My belief in this team since like right around the All-Star break is we win and we beat teams. Yes, our starters are great. They're great at closing out games, but it's our bench. We by far have the best bench in the league, and there's nobody on that Mavs bench that just is like, yeah, you're going to match up well with us. Or you're going to be able to score major points against us. I think that's what this series comes down to is those bench minutes and those guys coming off. And that's where we're going to stretch our leads at. That's where we're going to beat them. And I think Mark, because the Mavs, they run some crazy lineups. Like their stagger of Kyrie and Luka gets really weird sometimes, you know, especially like early in the game. I think Mark just matches up with them, and he'll play chess the way chess is actually supposed to be played, not how Jason Kidd plays it. So I don't know. I think that our bench is going to win us this series by a lot.
Okay, so let's go series prediction, and I'm going to go first because I think we're all going to say the same thing, so I'll sound original, and I'll say Thunder in six.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I know. That's why I went first.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Thunder in seven, and I'm going to be a nervous wreck.
Oh, God. Why would you do that?
You know what I say, Maddie. If you predict your team's going to win in seven, you really secretly think they're going to lose.
Well, yeah. the difference is we're playing at home, game seven. I will say this, to go along with that, no road team wins.
No road team wins. You think it's – yeah, okay. So the series never starts.
That's why I go – that this is going to be a one-game series in game seven. So
– not even.
I don't know about that. The Mavs gave up a game to the Clippers in Dallas. What's the Mavs record at home? I got to go look at this real quick. I got to go look at it. But yeah, no, I think the six is exactly where it's at, Dolan. I think we probably drop one in Dallas, probably the first one, grab the second one, maybe lose that third home game, and then go beat them in Dallas for game six.
All right, there you have it.
25-16 at home is what they are.
That's not very good.
No, it's not. And we're 33-8. So, yeah.
I say that's not very good. I guess that's like just about their regular record, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, but we're 24-17 away, and they're 25-16 away. So.
Yeah. So they're the same home and away.
So
yeah.
that's maybe we still won in Dallas, which gets you to the six, but
yeah. Yeah. I think we get one in Dallas,
which would be game six.
No, I hope it's just fuck it. I'm changing the narrative. 4-0. Get your brooms out. We're sweeping. All right. We're sweeping again. This is another sweep, baby. We're only playing 16 games. We decided on it before the playoffs started. We're only playing 16 games. That's it. That's all we got scheduled for. No more, no less.
All right.
I like OKC by five too.
Yeah, OKC by five from Texan by Nature 88. Okay. Well, I guess that's about it. I can't wait, guys. Thunder on Tuesday. It's been a long wait. So much anticipation, but now we have. You know, I figure the Thunder coaching staff has been basically planning for both teams for the last few days. Now they get to hone in on one team, and you know, both teams have the same amount of prep time. So a lot of it will come down to which coaching staff you trust more. And I think I know who my money's on there. So, the coach of the year. That's right. Yeah. So, like I said, I think we'll be back on Tuesday night after the game. That's
kind of, I will not be.
Dylan's not here to guide us, but I think that's probably a safe bet. Until then, thanks for listening. God bless. Hoop when you can. Nailed it. And as always,
Thunder up. Oh, gosh. Maddie's turned into a straight Hawaiian bro. Yeah, he's already got his, like, he's going to come back and his hands are going to be permanently fucking stuck that way.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. Thunder up!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.